Well, Happy New Year. Welcome to 2019. It's a new year. It's a new season. Ecclesiastes 3:1. There's a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. So what time is it? What is the season? What is the Lord saying to his church today, right now? Proverbs 25:2 says it's the glory of God to conceal a matter. To search out a matter is the glory of kings. I love that passage of Scripture. It's exciting to me. Very exciting. Because it reminds us that God has plans. He has matters. He has plans. He has mysteries. He has promises, he has victories, he has truth. He has things that he's concealed, but not to keep from us, but for us to find. Mysteries, truth, matters for us to discover. And he's calling us, he's inviting us, his kings and his priests. We're his royal priesthood. He's inviting us to come and seek him out and find them. Does that get you? That gets me excited. It gets me excited. So once again, what is the time? What is the season? What is on the heart of God right now for our lives, for our church? I'm sure a lot of you like to play hide and seek. Many of you played it. Some of you kind of gotten old and crusty in your years, need to play a little hide and seek with your kids even right, you know, maybe today, just to kind of get some of that youth back out again. But in hide and seek, what's the purpose of it? What's the culmination of it? Is it the hiding? No, it's the finding, right? So you hide, then you seek, and you find, and when you find, that's when all the yelling and the screaming happens, and you chase the person to tag them, and that's the exciting part. It's the finding part. And here's some great news. In this divine game of hide and seek, where God is calling us to be seekers, we are guaranteed to find. We're guaranteed to win this, and we're guaranteed to find. Jeremiah 29:13-14. I know I'm jumping all around the Old Testament right now, but just hang with me. You can all look it up. Just write it down. Look it up later. Or get online on your Evident Life Church app and look at the notes out there. The scriptures are out there for you, as well as the points, and you can even make your own notes on that too. Got to have it. Download it. It's a tool. We love you. We got it for you, all right? We got you all set up. But check this out. Jeremiah 29:13-14. You will seek me and find me. Okay. We've been talking about the promises of God. That's a promise of God. That we will find him when we seek him with all of our heart. And the Lord says, I will be found by you, declares the Lord. So it's a good year. A little year of hide and seek. Some matters concealed. But God is saying, come on. I got them hidden just for you. And I'm ready to reveal them. Seek and you will find. What is the time? What is the season? The Lord's been speaking to us at Evident Life Church. He's been revealing the time and the season. Because we've been seeking him. We're desperate to know his time and his season. Not just the latest tip and trick and, you know, conventional wisdom thing out there, but we need to know. We're desperate, so we're seeking him, and the Lord is revealing to us. The Lord's been highlighting what's on his heart as we're moving into a new year. He's been revealing plans and strategies as we've been seeking him in the place of prayer and listening for what he is saying. He's been revealing plans and strategies, the time and the season, to the elder team, to the leadership team here at Evident Life Church. And the Lord has a message for us. God is instructing us to connect. Connect. In fact, he's calling us to be the connecting church. And that's the title of this vision message to begin 2019. The connecting church, where he's calling us to connect with him, connect with God, and to connect with one another. I know it seems simple, but that's what I love about the Lord. Even a child gets it, right? It's hide and seek. He He brings it down to that level with us. He's calling us in 2019 to connect, to be the connecting church. These connections with God and one another bring the supernatural and bridge the supernatural with the natural. How many of you are ready for that? It's the connections with God and connecting with one another that are going to bridge that and bring that supernatural into the natural that we're dealing with every day. It's the connections with God and with one another that are going to bridge hope with reality and bring the promises of God and let us see them in reality in our lives today. It's these connections with God and one another as we respond to His Word, what He's been telling us as leadership and as a church from the place of prayer to connect. He's saying, seek and you will find, connect and you'll find the bridge between heaven and earth will become clearer and clearer. It will happen. So here's the first step as we respond to God's word and call for us this year. That's the connecting church connects with God. Write that down or bring it up in your app because we already wrote it down there for you. Point number one, as we launch into a new year, as we respond to God's call, His heart, His plans, and His strategy is the connecting church connects with God, Exodus 33:15. Then Moses said to him, Moses is talking with God. How many of you know you can talk to God? Come on, let's do it. Continually, all the time. So Moses was talking to God, he was praying. And he says to God, he says, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you're pleased with me and your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? Moses had determined he didn't want to take another step. He didn't even want to live another day, go another day, unless God was with him. Unless he was connected with God, he didn't want to go any further. He didn't want to move into a new year, into a new time, into a new season, into a new plan, strategy, relationship, whatever it was, unless he was firmly and strongly connected with God. He needed God's presence. He wasn't going to settle. He wasn't going to go through the motions. And that's a word for us. It's a word for me. That's a word for all of us here. We got to be like Moses and not just settle for another year of whatever will be, it'll just kind of happen. Just going to show up and no, we can't settle any longer. We can't just go through the motions another year. Because God is God, and He's here. And we can live this year connected with Him at a whole nother level. We can experience His presence, His love, His joy, His hope, His grace, His power at a whole nother level if we don't just settle and we don't just go through the motions. At Evident Life Church, we're determined to not move forward in the same way we have in the past. I want to be clear about this. The way that we moved forward in the past wasn't bad. It was just for then. That was then. This is now. God was there. Now He's here, right? A new wineskin, a new approach, a new plan, a new strategy. And we want to move forward in the new way that He's calling us to move forward. Different time and a different season. Today's a new day, and the Lord has called us to take some dramatic steps, and He's giving us some new strategies to connect with Him and to connect with one another. We've determined to move forward in this new year, doubling down on seeking and connecting with the presence of God. We're not going to settle. We're not going to go through the motions. We want to lean into His leadership. So what we're going to do is we have already launched into 360 days of prayer and fasting at Evident Life Church. We're calling it the 360. Here's some pics for it right there. You see that? The 360, prayer and fasting. We launched into this at the beginning of the year as prayer ministers, as the leadership team. We've already signed up and engaged in this and started to engage in this, and we're going to invite the entire church to be involved because it takes the entire church to fast 360 days. I want to invite David Caldwell up here, and he's going to share with us this morning what God is saying in this, where this came from, and where this is leading. Dave Caldwell is our minister of free life here at Evident Life Church. Those of you who know him know that he is a man who seeks the Lord, and he hears the voice of God. And would you share with us what God's saying about this?
A lot of pressure. So just a little pretext. I mean, for a couple years now, the Lord is, for my family and I think for our church, I've talked to Eric, is that he's bringing a season of reset where he's going to have us reestablish and look at different things in our foundation. And you're seeing this through the body of Christ now that the Lord is doing this. So I think part of that is he wants to reestablish some disciplines that have been lost to the church. And fasting is one of those. You know, Jesus didn't just fast 40 days. He fasted his entire ministry. And I think also it's not going to ride on the back of a minister or one minister or an anointed minister. It says that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. So going back to last year with the election, it was just a big burden on my heart. And I said, Lord, this is really a burden. What can we do about this? So out of the story of Joshua going into Jericho, through that, he gave us a strategy. He said, I want you to fast 40 days. And it wasn't just me or Eric or one or two people. It was the church engaged in that fast. I don't know the total outcome of what that would be long term. But what we noticed is that over time, the atmosphere in the church changed. I mean, there were side things that happened that we weren't even praying for. I mean, even the worship team, you could tell the worship was freer. It was open. It was moving. And Pastor Eric said he noticed in his messages, too, there was just more freedom in the church. So I think as the church, if we come together as a body, not just one person, as we engage the enemy, the gates of hell will not prevail. And we'll begin to take ground. We'll become offensive in our attack. Not arrogant, but humble before God, giving him the glory. So the 360 is we've already got 27 people that are committed every month to pray at least one day. Some are doing multiple days. And we're not going to just pray and fast, you know, over whatever. We're specifically targeting certain things. The Lord put on my heart that there's other things that he's concerned about, that the church has the authority. If we walk in our authority, we can see things shift and move in our society. We are the authority of the church when we're walking in our authority.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Dave. Yep. So 360 days. Of prayer and fasting. Like Dave said, God moved in power when we did this, the 40 days in September and October. I'd never heard of a church doing that, a tag team type of fasting where each day the baton gets handed to another group of people who are praying and fasting, and it goes for 40 days nonstop. Well, we're going to have 360 days. And as Dave said, it's going to provide a reset. It's going to provide a turnaround. You think of a 360-degree turnaround, right? We're going to see a turnaround. We're going to see a reset happen as the church determines to seek with all of our heart, as we determine to connect with God at a whole nother level. So I want to encourage everyone in this church, don't stand on the outside watching what God is doing. We need everybody, just like they did, Dave, you mentioned Jericho. It was all the people of God who engaged in that, walking around and shouting together. And I believe as we do this as the church at Evident Life Church, as we all engage in this together, we're going to see walls that have not come down in our lives, but also in our region and in our community. We're going to see walls supernaturally come down because the gates of hell cannot prevail against a church that's connecting with God and doing battle his way. And so I invite you to be involved. How do you get connected? You're going to hear me say it again, the app, the Evident Life Church app. Get connected on the app. There is a sign-up form on there. You can go through. You can select your days. You can put your name in there. When you put your name and email address in there, you will actually get a reminder the day before, the day of, also, that your day of prayer and fasting is coming up. So please take this opportunity. You will not regret it. You won't regret it. So here's what happens when we, like Moses, determine to move forward connecting with God. Remember Moses? God, show me your presence. I'm not going to move from here. I'm not moving from here unless your presence is here and it's with me and it goes with me. And this is God's response to that kind of heart. He says this in verse 17, and the Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing you have asked. And it wasn't a small thing that he asked God for. I'll show you my presence. I will show up. I'll lead you into my promises. I'll do it because I'm pleased with you and I know you and I know your name. Then Moses said, now show me your glory, God. And the Lord said, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you. Isn't that great how God is? He doesn't say, I'll give you a scrap. No. He said, okay, you want it? I'll show you all my glory. I'm going to show up because you want me. And I'm going to proclaim my name, he says, the Lord, in your presence. And I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. And I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. And I say, give me some of that. Give me some of God saying to me, saying to this church, I'm going to show up and show you my glory. You've been praying and fasting now for 100 days, for 200 days, for 300 days, seeking my face, seeking me out, saying, I want to connect with you. We want to see your kingdom come. We want to see heaven come down. We want to see the natural invade the natural. You've been crying out to me as the family of God. I'm going to show you. I'm going to be here. It's going to move. It's going to happen. I want some of that. And so God is saying, be the connecting church. Connect with me, and you won't be disappointed. You won't be let down. It's the kind of stuff that we have to look forward to as a church as we respond to God's call to be the connecting church. And as we respond to the 360 days, prayer and fasting. Jesus said it this way, but seek first his kingdom. Seek first God's kingdom. Seek first God, right? His kingdom, his righteousness, and everything else will be given to you. When we seek God, when we determine to be those who are going to connect with God at a whole nother level, not settling, not going through the motions, but saying, okay, God, you're calling us to this, we're coming along. We're following you. All the other stuff falls in place at that point, church. That's what Jesus is telling us. I want to encourage you to do this too. If you're able, this is not a requirement of signing up for the 360. But if you're able, I want to encourage you those days that you are signed up to put it in your schedule and to get yourself in the prayer room for an hour. Yeah, God shows up everywhere. It's not just in one location. But there is a place that's been set aside now in this location for over 4.5 years for prayer, for seeking God, for hearing his voice. And I want to tell you from personal experience, I hear from God all over the place. I don't even want to share some of the places where I hear from God, right, with the church on a Sunday morning. But there is something special when I'm in that prayer room. And I just worship him, and I pray, and I cry out to him, and then I just sit in that comfy chair in the corner by the brick wall and listen. Man, I hear. I hear what is on his heart. He guides me. He directs me. That's the kind of stuff he has for us. It's not a requirement when you sign up for the 360 on those days to spend an hour in there, but it's a suggestion and an encouragement from your pastor anyway. So number one, the connecting church connects with God. But this leads us into the next step. And that's this. The connecting church connects with one another. It starts with God. It always does. So we connect with God, but if we're going to be the connecting church and to walk in all that God has for us in this year, we're not just going to do it alone. We need to be connecting with one another. We were created for this. We weren't created to be alone. We were created to be in community together. We were created to do this together. Hebrews 10:25, don't give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. But encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day. That's a capital D. That means the return of Christ. So encourage one another as you see the return of Christ coming nearer and nearer as it's approaching. Here's the deal. A popular belief that the church is a bunch of people, a bunch of disconnected people who call themselves Christians, and that's who we are. We're the church. And there's some truth to that. We're the church because we're all in Christ Jesus. So we're all part of the family of God. But that is not how the Bible defines and presents the church that's alive and that's changing the world. The Bible shows the church not as a bunch of disconnected people doing their own thing with God. It's just me and Jesus. No, God shows very clearly that the church is Jesus' followers that are connecting with him alongside one another. That's the church. A unified, connected, in the same room, doing life together kind of church. I wrote this down. I just put this down yesterday as I was looking at my notes. And the Lord said, if you're not in the room with other believers, then you're not connected in the way the Bible is calling you to be connected. Period. Hebrews 10:25. Don't forsake the gathering of the saints, as some are in the habit of doing. It's not the healthy thing to do. It's not the God-prescribed thing to do. God does something, not just something. He does virtually everything when his people come together. Look at this. Let's look at Acts 2, 1 and 2, and then we're going to stay in Acts for a second passage. Acts 2, 1 and 2. When the day of Pentecost came, everybody knows about the day of Pentecost. That's when the doors were blown off of that place and the Spirit of God came in power. What does it say? When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. All together in one place. They were in the same room. They were gathered together. The gathering of the saints. They were all together in one place. And then suddenly, whoa, in the gathering of the saints, the presence of God comes down like never before. Show me your glory, right? Like Moses said, the glory of God, the presence of God comes down, blows the doors off the place, tongues of fire coming on the people, the gifts of the Holy Spirit being released in and through the church. 3,000 people come into Christ in that day. I mean, the world started to change. The connected church, connected with God, in the Spirit, hearing his voice, be together. They were together. God showed up right there. Boom, bam. The bullseye, you see that? You know where the bullseye is, right? Amen. Acts 2:42. They, meaning the church, Jesus followers. How many of you are Jesus follower? You're Jesus follower. Come on, then. This is for us, right? So the church, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings, right? Right here, the Word of God, to the fellowship, connecting with one another, to the breaking of bread, communion, to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe. Many wonders and miraculous signs. I'm liking what I'm hearing. Filled with awe, wonders, miraculous signs were being done by the apostles. And in what context did all this happen? All the believers were where? Scattered? Doing their own thing. Hearing their own word from the Lord. No, they were all together and had everything in common. We're called to be the connecting church, connected with one another. That's where God shows up. I will tell you, you do your study through the whole New Testament. Almost every single big, miraculous, supernatural move of God is done when the saints, when the people of God are together, connected. Together. Connected. look at Jesus' teaching, the parable of the lost sheep. Turn with me, we're going to be in Matthew 18 and also in the Gospel of Luke chapter 15, the parable of the lost sheep. Starting with Matthew 18, verse 10. See that you do not look down on one of these little ones, for I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven. What do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go to look for the one that wandered off? And if he finds him, I tell you the truth that he's happier about that one sheep than about the 99 that did not wander off. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should be lost. Then let's look at the insight on the same parable from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, beginning of verse 5. Jesus says, and when he finds it, meaning when he finds the lost one, when he finds the person who's disconnected from the rest, the one that's wandered off, that's not with the others, when he finds that one, what does he do? He joyfully puts that one on his shoulders. He doesn't just go, oh, be warm and fed and happy. I got to get back to the group over here. Great to have you kind of in the area. If you ever want to come over here, come on over here. No. Jesus said that he went over there, he showed him love, compassion, care, and he actually put that one on his shoulder and brought him back into the fold, into the group that was connected. He brought the one into connection. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me. I found my lost sheep. I found one that wasn't connected with the rest of the family. And now they're connected. We're together. This is a time to celebrate, a time to rejoice. Because it's dangerous and it's lonely. I want to ask you a question. You don't have to raise your hand or say anything to this, because there are probably a few, maybe even in the room, sadly enough, this morning, that would answer in the affirmative to this. Have you ever been the one in the room who was alone? I guess we could probably all raise our hand to that, right? We've all been the one in some room somewhere where we've been alone. Look at the picture. The little orange guy right there, right? Red and yellow, black and white, and blue and orange in this case, right? Have you ever been the stranger? Have you ever been the odd man out? Odd woman out? We've all been there. It's a lonely place. It's a lonely place, and it takes somebody from the inside. It takes one of these to have compassion on this one and to leave the comfort and the safety and whatever the conversations are going on here, and to step out and to go and connect with this one and bring this one into the group. That's the parable of the lost sheep in many ways, isn't it? That's the heart of God for people. So God instructs us to be aware of the disconnected ones, to leave the 99, leave the comfort, those we're already connected with, and go after that one right there. We're going to be that church this year at a whole nother level. And I want to say we already are in so many ways. In fact, I just saw a Google review, a 5-star Google review on Evident Life Church. And the thing that person highlighted was, man, it was my first time, had so many people come up and say hi and made me feel welcome. That's great. That's good. Praise God for that. We're a friendly church. But I'm here to say we're taking it to another level. Because it's one thing. Let's get real right now, okay? I'm preaching. I'm just going to go with this. It's one thing to go over once again and say, hey, it's good to have you in the room. It's good to have you in the room. It's one thing to say, oh, what's your name? How did you find out about us? All this. It's another thing to say, hey, put them on your shoulder, right? I want to invite you to be part of this. I want to invite you to meet my friends. I want to invite you to join us for lunch. I want to invite you to be part of the conversation. I want to invite you to be in our life group, to be part of our prayer team, because you said, man, God's got that all over your heart. I want to invite you in and actually bring them in. That's why I'm saying we're going to go to new levels with things. 360 days of prayer and fasting. Yeah, that sounds like, wow, I haven't heard that before. That's a new level. Praise God, we're going to do it, and it's going to be amazing. But this is an important new level. This is an important next step for the church to walk into, to step into, to embrace. And it's not just leadership. We're not talking about programs here. We're not talking about we're going to have more opportunities for people to sign up for things. No, we're talking about the church. Ask who's follower of Jesus. Most people in the church, in the building here, raise their hand, right? That you're the church. It's you. You're the blue people, right? It's you, the blue people here in this picture. All of you. Grabbing God's heart and being the one who goes and leaves and ministers, puts them on your shoulder and brings them in and connects them. That's the church. That's authenticity. That's relationship. That's not programs. That's not an institution. That's people loving people. The connecting church. That's where we're going this year. A whole nother level of it too. And I know that this church is filled with people who are already grabbing hold of this and excited about this. It's an exciting way to live. It's not the way of the world today, but it's the way of Jesus. And oh man, it's going to be exciting. Therefore, when we gather on Sundays, we're actively looking for the one. Actively looking for the one, for the new people. We're going after them, and we're inviting them in. Takes church to a whole nother level, doesn't it? Takes coming to church to a whole nother level. You know, church is not just about what we get when we come. It's about being the church. It's about what is God going to do today, and I'm there, and I'm part of it. And I'm going to get the tap on the shoulder. You never know when that's going to be. We're the church. And again, it's already the DNA of our church. In fact, it's already written into our vision statement and our mission statement. I mean, look at it. The vision of Evident Life Church, we're a people of prayer pursuing God and loving others. A people of prayer pursuing God and loving others. A people of prayer connecting with God, going after God, and loving others, connecting with one another, right? Our mission statement, we're helping people encounter God's presence, connecting with Him. We're helping people belong to His family, connecting people into the family of God through Christ Jesus, but then in the gathering of the saints, doing life with one another and growing in His love. That's who we are. God's just taken us to another level, but it's a critical level that's so important, that's going to release so much. And by the way, I don't have time to go into it today, but God's calling us to also to be the connecting church with our community, and we are. You just heard about the Night of Hope that we're engaged in, the time of prayer down at the state capitol, the doors that have been opened in our community with our relationship with the homeless ministry and Ascend in other places and Open Arms and all the areas of ministry that we've been able to affect, the lives that we've been able to affect here locally, but also around the world. Did you know this? Check this out. I'm going a little long today, so you got to hang with me, but this is exciting stuff. In Ghana, Africa, at Evident Life Chapel, that we just celebrated a couple weeks ago, that the new chapel was built, and it can hold like 700 people. They had 900 people in there the other day. They can do that in Africa. We would have the fire marshal here, but they can do that in Africa. They can pack it like that because they brought together the other churches that church has already planted over the last couple years. They planted four churches, so they brought all the daughter churches together, and they had a big all-night prayer and worship rally, 900 people. I love it. So, we're going to have a whole nother message sometime, not next week, but it's coming up. where we're going to be talking about how God is opening doors. And this is going to become evident. And there are some exciting things already in the works, already on the move, of how God is opening new doors for us to be the connecting church in our community. Whole nother levels. It's an exciting time, church. So as I conclude, I want to give a few simple ways to connect. And again, these aren't church programs. Please, let's not look at this as a church program. Or we're going to we're going to just have the same old, same old. We're going to be settling. We're not going to settle. New ways, though. We're going to be launching a new season of life groups. Like, I've heard of life groups. I've heard of small groups, home groups. They've been around forever. I get it. I know. But what a life group is, it's an opportunity to connect with people, real people connecting with one another. But as we're relaunching a season of life groups, we're doing it with God's word in mind. That the whole purpose of these life groups isn't to find a group of 10, 12, 16 people that we really gel with. Put that up on the screen with those people again, the blue people and the orange person, right? So it's not just about finding our group and then saying, we got our group, we're happy, and we're growing in Christ together, and then let the other people find their own groups. No, the way that we're relaunching life groups is these life groups are our place where we can be taking people as we pick them up, put them on our shoulder, and we bring them into our group. So a life group is a place of connecting. Groups are never closed. Groups are always growing. And we're always bringing people into our groups, and we're always launching and planting and starting new groups out of those groups that are growing, because that's the heart of Christ. Could you imagine walking up to a church door and there being a sign on it that says, we're full. We have all the people that we want and the ones that we like. And you'll go find another one. No. So our life groups aren't going to be that way either. This is our place. We have to have a place to take them when we put them on our shoulders. And that's our life groups. And so my dream, my hope, and my prayer as the pastor of this church is that everyone in this congregation will be part of a life group first and foremost, because it's so important that you're connected with one another, because that's where the love of God, that's where the mysteries of God and the supernatural of God stuff happens, is when you're connected with one another. Not just Sunday mornings when I'm up here, it's when you're together. And my prayer and my hope and my dream as the pastor of this church, and I know it's God's heart, that's why it's my heart now, is that these groups would be connecting other people. That if somebody walks into this church within a week or two that they're here, that they've been invited to visit, to join, to be part of multiple groups. Because we're a connecting church that's going after those who are disconnected. Prayer is another place to connect. You saw the announcement about our prayer time changing to 6:30, from 6:30 to 7:30 on Wednesdays. God is moving in those gatherings. We're connecting with God and we're connecting with one another. I want to encourage you, if you're able, to be part of that. Be in a life group. And if you're able, come to prayer also. Connect with God in the place of prayer. So powerful. Serving teams were mentioned. We'll mention that kind of stuff later. Opportunity to be the hands and feet of Christ.